Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down, the Monday Night Meltdown. Let's do this thing as the Portland Trailblazers meltdown spot. The Los Angeles Lakers a 21-point lead after the first 12 minutes of play. And it was the difference when it's all said and done, and the Blazers give up 135, and the Blazers showed a sense of urgency that I showed before a high school exam. Absolutely none. These guys folded faster than Superman on laundry day. An embarrassing performance from the Portland Trailblazers this evening, and it's all over but the crying as the Lakers now have a 3-1 series lead as they get it done on Kobe Day, August 24th. An unintentional tribute to Kobe Bryant, and truth be told, I'm a moron for stepping in front of this. Like, there's some things you just don't want to get in front of, and yeah, Kobe magic and stuff like that is probably not something that you want to get in front of. At least we cashed an in-game over as the game sails over the number. They put up 250 points in this basketball game. Craziness earlier today with Milwaukee and Orlando as overbetters had a late gift, a late push, in a strange basketball game that started off incredibly slow, as a lot of these early games have. You look at the National Basketball Association playoffs right now, it's over for the Pacers. The Miami Heat take care of business. Now they await the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks still need to win another game. That's what happens when you lose. Now you got to play another game. You have to handle your business. Looks like Milwaukee will handle their business. They're on a collision course with the Miami Heat. Of course, the Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics kickstart their series on Thursday. Don't look now, but we have a series with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. And truth be told, I really don't know how the Oklahoma City Thunder are doing this. Like, they're playing and they're scoring pretty much like as much as they possibly can, and they're barely winning. Like, they're barely pulling this out. And oh yeah, Houston doesn't even have Russell Westbrook either, but doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter. When it's all said and done, all that matters is, you know, whether you won or lost the game. And now they both won and they both lost two games apiece right now. We've got a series, just like we got a series on our hands with the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers as Luka Doncic steps up and drops 43. Can he go back-to-back with another epic performance? He's going to have to if the Dallas Mavericks are going to step up and get it done in this series. The New York Islanders shut out the Philadelphia Flyers. They take a 1-0 series lead. George Kurt steps up with it. We talk Fox. We set it to Vegas. Sports Rage late night. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night continues. I'm Gabe Morenci. Send your rage, 844-843-6879. George Kurtz will step up and in. We'll talk some NHL hockey, some NFL football. Vegas Maddie will step up and in. Super contest proxy from Las Vegas. Obviously, if his name is Vegas Maddie, he's kicking it in Las Vegas. We'll talk about some of these contests, the super contests, and everything else that's around the corner. The National Football League regular season starts in a little more than 2 weeks. So it's time, as Bruce Buffer would say. Unfortunately, the Portland Trailblazers did not get the message that it was time this evening. Absolutely no sense of urgency whatsoever from the Blazers. Now, listen, there's no shame in losing. As Vince Lombardi, you know, stated years ago, there's no shame in getting knocked down. The only shame is staying down. And I'll never call a team out for losing. You know, you look at the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers lost again to the Miami Heat, but it wasn't due to a lack of effort. They just, quite frankly, weren't good enough. It wasn't due to a lack of effort. Like, if you're the Portland Trailblazers, like, you went through, you know, you went to hell and back to get into the playoffs. You know, you played great basketball to get there. And once you've gotten here, and it seems like you're disinterested right now. And I don't want to hear about Zach Collins' injury anymore. Like, I get it. Zach Collins is a good basketball player. Zach Collins is not like Michael Jordan, all right? He's not Scottie Pippen. Like basically, well, if Zach Collins was, you know, if Zach Collins was playing, like, yeah, whatever. So if Zach Collins is there, what? They lose by 17 instead of 20? How many points is Zach Collins really worth to the Portland Trailblazers? Let's be real. And I get it. He's a good basketball player. But I get, listen, the Lakers are good, and it's an 8-1. And the reality of the situation is the Portland Trailblazers are getting run out of the gym by a better basketball team right now. But like I said, I don't have a problem with losing. I don't have a problem with teams losing. It's when you see just an aloofness and a disinterest in which you're the Portland Trailblazers. Like, things started off great tonight. Things started off great tonight for the Blazers, and then the game started. And then it was 2-0. Then it was 5-0. Then it was 7-0. Then it was 10-0. Then it was 12-0. Then it was 15-0. And, you know, you can get away with that. You can get away with being down 10-0 if you're a basketball team. All right. You can get away with giving up the first 13 points of a basketball game, but you've got to get it back. And you can't let it turn into 20-4 and then 26-6. I mean, like, really, the Portland Trailblazers were down by 21 points after the first quarter. They were 2.5-point underdogs in the first quarter. You know, you were 2.5-point underdogs. You're down by 21. Like, the expectation was that, all right, if you guys don't win the quarter, at least, you know, you're going to be there. It's not easy to be down 21 points after 12 minutes. Like, you almost have to work at it to be that bad. As I stated, these guys folded faster than Superman on laundry day, all right? They had the urgency of a sloth, a drunk sloth. This is the NBA playoffs. You're playing against the Los Angeles Lakers on Mamba night, 8:24. 8:24, and you guys are down 15-0 to start the basketball game. And you look at the final score and look at the basketball game. That was the first quarter. That was the difference. You're not playing against the Sacramento Kings here, guys. You're not playing against the Pelicans. You're not playing against the Memphis Grizzlies. You can't spot the Los Angeles Lakers 21 points and then expect to come back after in the next 36 minutes. So it's 48 minutes in the game, 12 minutes a quarter. You guys down 21 after the first 12. Yeah. Like, you're going to outscore them by 21 points now in the next 36 minutes. Like, the lack of urgency to start this basketball game was just, quite frankly, an embarrassment. Yet the Los Angeles Lakers, you have to give them credit. We can pick apart the Portland Trailblazers all we want, but the Lakers came to play, and the Lakers have come to play after the game one embarrassment in which they only scored 93 points. They have responded. Danny Green is starting to hit some shots right now. Rajon Rondo's return is soon, and you know that even though the Dallas Mavericks would be a dangerous team for anybody moving forward, if the Mavericks are able to beat the Los Angeles Clippers. But with that being stated, you know LeBron James would prefer to play anybody else besides Kawhi Leonard. Now they haven't played in a series that matters in a little while. You remember LeBron did win a championship with the Miami Heat over the San Antonio Spurs, but it's a new world right now. And at least from what we saw this year, Kawhi got the better of them. I know the Lakers won that game in the bubble the first night back, but if you're LeBron James, like you pretty much believe that you could beat anybody in the NBA to begin with. Yet Kawhi has to be that one guy that you don't want to have to play. Yeah, and it would just make the Los Angeles Lakers' lives easier. Now, you know, there's different levels to this stuff, man. There really is. And you see this as playoffs advance in sport by sport. You see it in the National Hockey League, and you see it in the NBA as well, in which, you know, teams will advance, and the teams that lose are just overmatched. Like, you know, let's look at this. Like, you look at the Pacers. They just got swept. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they couldn't win. And props to Teddy Covers, who joined us before the playoffs started and said that's the series that he likes the most, that Indiana are no match for the Miami Heat. And we got to give props to the Miami Heat. If you look at, you know, if you want to grade the teams, the Toronto Raptors, the Toronto Raptors had a great series against Brooklyn, but Brooklyn, let's be real. Brooklyn were rolling out a G League roster. So you can't give a ton of credit to the Toronto Raptors for what they did. There's been some great teams and some great performances, Utah being one of them. Utah's looked great. Yet the Miami Heat, if we're given report cards here, you have to give an A+. A+ to the Miami Heat. It's like not just A+. Come on, they swept. They won by an average of double digits. They swept the four games, and not like they're playing the Orlando Magic. It's not like they're playing the Brooklyn Nets. The Pacers are a decent basketball team that really just got manhandled by the Miami Heat. And, you know, it's always easy to watch a series, and we always remember what we saw last and say, oh, this team's going to win. But, you know, from what we've seen from Milwaukee, and, you know, Milwaukee covered today, barely. A bad beat for people that had the Orlando Magic plus the points. Late free throws. Late free throws. Yet that's what got it to 227 for the push for the total. But anybody that's watched Milwaukee in a bubble from the bubble games to now even the playoff games, if, you know, and I know a lot of people aren't watching these games because, you know, they're the early games and it's kind of ugly and stuff, but if you're not paying attention to this, these games are closer than the final score indicate even. Like, you look and you see Milwaukee won by 15. It's like, yeah, you know, Orlando were in the game, man. Like, Orlando are giving Milwaukee problems. And I think Milwaukee are going to have problems moving forward. I don't think they're making it to the finals. I think it's going to be Toronto and Miami in the Eastern Conference finals that play each other. I think the Toronto Raptors are going to beat the Boston Celtics. And then I believe the Miami Heat will beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And we'll have a Miami and Toronto Eastern Conference Finals when it's all said and done. But there's a lot of basketball to be played. And I know that the Boston Celtics are going to give the Raptors all that they can handle. We've talked about the history, and we're going to get into the series as the week progresses. New York Islanders kickstart their series with a win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Flyers pulled their goalie with like 7 minutes left. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without rage-a-hole.
Sports Rage late night. I am Gabe Morenci. Brutal day in the city of brotherly love. The Philadelphia Flyers get shut out by the New York Islanders. Brett Brown out as head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers after seven seasons. Although it's probably a joyous day for Philadelphia 76er fans who have been very frustrated by Brett Brown yet. I don't blame him as much as Philadelphia 76er fans do. I get it. You know, people are not going to like a coach, but the Philadelphia 76er chemistry sucks. And the roster blows. It's not the coach's fault. All right. That's not the coach's fault. That's the organization. That's the general manager. That's the player development. That's the scouts. That's not Brett Brown. A change needed to happen. But let's not pretend that like Brett Brown's Richie Kotite or something like that right now. So Philadelphia 76ers have some work to do, and the Philadelphia Flyers have some work to do. Right now, after dropping game one to the New York Islanders, George Kurtz steps up and in from the island right now. And George, it's almost unfathomable, actually, that somehow the New York Islanders and the Philadelphia Flyers had not played in the playoffs since 1987. Like, that's a long time. So what we're talking, 33 years here? Like, 33 years, George. Like, you figure, like, it would have happened once, twice. There would have been a series. And, they did play in 2001. Or, like, no. Hard to believe, George. First time since 1987.
Yeah, I said the same thing on my Twitter account earlier today. I mean, I was a senior in high school the last time they played a playoff series, and I never would have guessed. If you would have told me when was the last time the Islanders and Flyers had played, I mean, I think I'd have guessed maybe the early 2000s, like you said, or maybe even the early 90s. The Islanders were terrible for a long time, where they go 8, 9, 10 years without making the playoffs. And Philly had their own problems, so maybe we shouldn't be so shocked. But, yeah, that caught me off guard as well, Gabe.
Yeah, but come on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Sid, for 33 years, so yeah, you were a senior in high school, and I had just dropped out of high school in that time. I remember it well, though. I remember the era well. Great. You know, the Montreal Canadiens, of course, won a cup in 1986. You had the great Canada Cup with Dale Hawerchuk, just passed away, actually, was on the ice with Mario and Wayne Gretzky. They beat Team Russia in the Canada Cup in 87. So, yeah, it's just hard to believe that their paths couldn't have crossed. But as you stated, they weren't very good. The Islanders haven't been good for, you know, a long time. And the Flyers have just sort of been mediocre. You're right. So as far as tonight is concerned, listen, I watched the Philadelphia Flyers very, very closely. I saw every minute of the series against the Montreal Canadiens, and the Montreal Canadiens were the better team, George. Like, 5-on-5, they were the better team. The league, you know, the Canadiens got screwed, like, in every game, basically, by the referees.
Like, the Flyers had a million power play opportunities, couldn't take advantage. Like, it's kind of, like, I don't know if you saw how many goalposts and crossbars the Montreal Canadiens hit in that series. Like, literally 12 to 15 of them, George, if not 20. They literally hit, like, seven posts in one game once. Philadelphia was offensively challenged. Their power play is anemic. I like the Islanders here. I don't think Philadelphia is that great. The Islanders playing good hockey. Now they have one game under their belt. What do you think?
Well, remember when we talked last week about, should we be upset about the Lightning? Yeah, they won the series, but they didn't look good doing so. We could say the same thing about the Flyers. Yes, they beat the Canadiens, but they didn't look good doing so. They sort of, I don't want to say played down to their level, but they shrunk somewhere. Well, they didn't play very well. I think
that was a 12 seed versus a one seed, George. Let's be real. It didn't look like it.
That's a blowout. No, it didn't. I think you need to be more. I wasn't impressed by them. That's the bottom line here. And I think also everything you said is true. I don't think the Canadiens had any puck luck, and the officiating was, shall we say, interesting. But I also thought, if Carey Price would have played his best games, I don't think he played very well. And yet they were still in the series. I thought Carey Price, maybe he was played 80% of what he can actually do, but I didn't think he had a very good series. He was letting in
the last two
goal
games,
every
right.
game.
When they needed him,
yeah, I was
Game 5 and Game 6, he wasn't great. Like, he just wasn't. You're right.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. And I think that's, I think the Flyers in some way caught a break. They had all the puck luck. They had the calls from the refs, and Carey Price wasn't Carey Price. If two of those three things don't happen, the Flyers may not be here right now.
It's amazing, isn't it, how the pandemic has affected teams in different ways. And literally, there's not a team that gained the most from this, in which it saved their season the most. I mean, let's be real, George. Like, the New York Islanders, they were falling apart. Like, they were falling apart at the pace that they were going. They weren't going to make the playoffs. They were a completely different team from... They were doing the opposite of everything that Trotz wanted them to do. They did have a lot of injuries as well, but the season was going horribly. and it was falling apart for them. The league shuts down, and here they are right now. They've recaptured. They look like the team that they were 2 years ago now, George, again.
Well, I'm the first to admit, Gabe, when the pandemic hit, this was, forget an anvil falling. This was the Coyote, with the big boulder falling on their head over and over again. The Islanders were done. I mean, they were just done. They had lost 7 straight and 11 of 12 when play stopped. All right, they weren't going to make the playoffs, but that wasn't going to get any better. You said the reason why, the injuries. Those guys weren't close to coming back. It was Cizikas, it was Clutterbuck, Adam Pelich. Pelich was gone for the rest of the regular season. The other two might have returned in a week or two with a season left. But Pelich, it's weird. I mean, no one's going to say, hey, oh, wow, I wish I had Pelich on my team, but the Islanders need him. He is their best defensive defenseman. He's the guy who clears the front of the net. He can hit. He can get the puck out of the zone. He has no offensive capabilities, but he's so important under that Trotz system. And getting him back, he hurt his Achilles, getting him back to the playoffs was huge for the Islanders. There's no doubt. I completely agree with you. The Islanders were the biggest beneficiary of the 4 or 5 months off.
We have to give credit as well to a great playoff coach, and that's Barry Trotz, who is just a great playoff coach. Like, every series and every game that the New York Islanders go into, they either have a coaching advantage or it's equal, because there's very few that are as good as Coach Trotz is.
Trotz is the definition of why coaching matters. And we say a lot of sports, coaching doesn't matter. Anybody could coach this team. Anybody could coach that team. We know the Islanders are always going to have problems scoring. But you think the Islanders' defense? I mentioned Pelich, Mayfield, Pulak, Letty, Green, Taze. There's nobody going, wow, that's a great defense. There's not a number one there. There's not a number two there. Really, it's a top-line defender. They're a bunch of threes, fours, and bottom-line guys. But Trotz's system, and when this team buys into his system, and they are very tough, because they're an annoying, gnat little team that generally keeps the shots to the perimeter. Generally. And when the shots do get good, Varlamov has played very well. So I think Trotz, like I said, that defense that I mentioned here, for the most part, is the same defense that was there the year before Trotz took over and they were horrendous. They were terrible with Doug Wade, right? Because there was no structure. There was no defensive system. Trotz has done a magnificent job. I think the Capitals just keep proving it over and over again how silly it was not to give him the extra $1 million a year he wanted.
I thought George Kurtz joining us, Sports Grid's George Kurtz. So I thought, George, the number kind of dictated, and I was hoping – I like the Islanders tonight, and I bet on the Islanders tonight, and I took the under as well. But without being stated, before I looked at the number, I sort of assumed I was going to get plus 120, plus 125. And I got plus 100 with the Islanders, plus 100. And – I think that's all you needed to know about what the odds makers thought about the matchup between these two teams. That you sort of throw that seed out. I think the odds makers were less than impressed as well with the Philadelphia Flyers against the Montreal Canadiens. The Islanders are now 5-1 when they score first. The Flyers were flat, four shots on goal in the first period of play. And George, for underbettors out there, I saw people online, I saw people on Twitter panicking when the Flyers pulled the goalie with so much time left. They're like, oh, God, there goes the under. It's amazing, isn't it? Like, sometimes, dude, they can pull the goalie with, like, 30 seconds left and you can lose and they'll score right away. Other times, they'll pull a goalie. Like, it's rare that you see that many minutes, George, right? I remember years ago, Mike Keenan did it out of rage. Basically, the Florida Panthers are really, like, sucking, and their goalie was getting peppered, bro. Like basically, and he called the goalie over, and he said, take a seat, man. And he's like, what? He goes, there's, like, 8 minutes left. And he goes, nah. He goes, just take a seat. Don't worry about it. And he goes, you know what? You guys are going to leave this guy alone. I'm taking him out. I'm not letting him get killed because of you. And the other team didn't score on the Panthers in an empty net for like 8 minutes, George. It's bizarro world, this stuff.
I wouldn't have even remembered that until you just said it, because I was trying to think of the same thing. When was the last time you saw a goalie pull?
Do you remember it now that I bring it up? Do you remember, like,
now that you bring it up, yeah.
Mike Keenan did it out of rage and anger once. Not even to win a game. He was just pissed off.
Yeah, now I remember it. So it's funny you bring that. You do that a lot to me. You make me remember things, because I was trying to remember that tonight. When was the last time we saw a goalie disappear that early?
And there wasn't even a flood of goals. That's what's amazing. It still went under the number. It still went under. Varlamov, his second straight shutout. Islanders got something cooking. Playing in the afternoon, actually, an earlier game Wednesday. Sports Rage Late Night continues. George Kurtz kicking it with us. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
My name's Bobby and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi. You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Okay, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gable Morenci. Two games in the National Hockey League playoffs tonight. The New York Islanders beat the Philadelphia Flyers 4-0, plus 100 underdogs. Meanwhile, the Dallas Stars cash plus 135 tonight. They go back-to-back. They won 5-3 in game one. They put up another five spot. They won 5-2 tonight. A lot of people just sort of assumed just because you can't bet just because you think, well, a team's not going to go down two games to none. You had the injuries with the Colorado Avalanche, and the Dallas Stars have a lot of veteran players, guys, that have played in playoff games before. And the Colorado Avalanche don't. The Avalanche are a very talented young hockey team that has to prove it. Like, they have to go out there and do it. And a lot of times, guys, there's less of a process in the NHL, George, than there is in the NBA, or let's say even in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, you see, George, in the NFL, there's sort of, yeah, you kind of got to, like, be a wild card team and then lose and then sort of make it to the, you know what I mean, the divisional round and lose. And then, yeah, you get to the, you know, that was Andrew Luck's development. That's why I was like, kid, don't step aside. You're one away from a Super Bowl, right? Like, you went through the pain of losing wild card games. Then you won. You went through the pain of losing it, like, then you got to the conference championship game. The Toronto Raptors had that, which they climbed. There's like a ladder to climb. In the NHL, you can sort of smash that ladder, and you can smash the glass ceiling. We saw that with Vegas before. We saw that with Vegas in the past before. And Vegas are a damn good hockey team right now, George, but so is this Dallas Stars team. I believe this is the Dallas Stars' sixth win in a row, actually, now, George, isn't it? Yeah, six wins in a row for the Stars.
They're a damn good team, and if they have found their offense, I mean, that all season long, this has been a team that really, they're no team that plays a defensive system, you know, and they play it well. Ben Bishop usually is their goalie. He was a top-notch goaltender, and they winning a lot of games 3-2. If they have all of a sudden found their offense, Jamie Benn, Radulov, Seguin, Pavelski, you know, none of these guys had a great regular season, but if they have found that offense now, this is a dangerous, dangerous team. And if Hudobin's going to play, Hudobin's one of the better backup goaltenders in the league. But really, yeah, I didn't think he impressed all that much versus Calgary. They won the games. They won the series. And he won three of those wins for them. But I didn't think he was all that impressive. He played well tonight. You know, he didn't fall apart after falling down 2-0. Like I said, if they have found their offense, Gabe, this is a team that no one's going to want to play anybody right now. But no one's going to want to play this team because they can play defense. They'll have a solid goaltender. Now they can score goals as well. That was supposed to be a tough team not to like if they're going to keep scoring 3-4 goals a game.
Yeah, I'm not going to write them off. I got to be honest, earlier in the day on Game Time Decisions, I said earlier tonight, if you ask me right now, George, who's going to play in the Stanley Cup, I would say the Boston Bruins against Vegas. But you can't write Dallas off, and I'm not writing the New York Islanders off either. I do think the Islanders are going to beat the Philadelphia Flyers. They've got some work to do still. You know, the Flyers are going to come out. They're going to have more than four shots on goal in the first period of game two. But this Boston team, to me, George, pretty dangerous. And Boston just sort of seemed to get better every game, too. You know, and they admitted that it was going to take them a couple of weeks to dial it up to where they needed to be. But they're starting to get there right now. If I ask you right now, who do you think plays in the Stanley Cup Finals? I say Boston, Vegas. What do you say?
I agree with you. I think Vegas is the best team in the league. They're the best overall team. They don't have a weakness. They may not have a superstar on offense. They have a good, you know, Stone, Smith, Pacioretty, good players, but not a superstar. There's no McDavid here. You know, there's no Crosby. There's no Kucherov or anybody like that, but they play well as a team. The defense is solid and it's deep. And Robin Leonard. I mean, Gay, you can write a movie about what's going on with this guy, right? He overcomes alcoholism to become one of the better goaltenders in the NHL. It's a fantastic story. This brings me up a question I wanted to ask you this for actually a few days now. I just forgot to ask you. You've been watching hockey forever. Can you remember a playoff season where we've had so many backup goaltenders? I mean, I think it's nuts. Leonard, you think about it. Halak has played. Now we got Frank Kuz. You know, it goes on and on and on with these backup goaltenders, and these guys are winning. I just can't remember another playoff season where we've had so many backup goaltenders.
I'll tell you what, I can't remember another time ever that a goaltender's agent before posted a tweet with a sword going through his client's back. Like Marc-Andre Fleury. It's funny because Marc-Andre Fleury is such a nice guy, and his agent does that. Marc-Andre Fleury's agent, goalie of the Vegas Golden Knights, tweeted out a picture of him getting stabbed in the back because he's not playing. But as you stated, Kurtz, how do you sit Robin Leonard right now? I believe he's 9-1 now between the pipes with Vegas. He's rock solid. You're not taking this guy out.
Fleury has struggled all season. He had a personal issue early on in the season. Then apparently when we were told that was solved, he didn't play much better. That's the reason they went out and got Leonard from Chicago. Right, because they wanted to have a solid backup for Fleury. I don't think Vegas had any thought that Leonard was going to be this good. He was good with Chicago, but not lights out. But when you put a better defense in front of him, he is a top-notch goaltender. You're trying to win a cup here. You got to go with the better player, and Leonard right now is the better player. I saw that tweet on Saturday. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy did that. And I'll tell you, if I was Fleury and I didn't know about that, Flurry's a pretty damn good guy. He's always handled everything with class. His exit from Pittsburgh because they did salary cap room with class.
Yep, yep.
Going to Vegas and what happened there with the shooting with class. I'd be pretty ticked off if I was Flurry. And he had to have a news conference yesterday. He didn't really apologize for it. He didn't say he didn't know about it, but he was sort of, you know, yeah, he shouldn't have done that, that sort of thing. But I would be pretty ticked off if I'm Flurry that my agent did that.
George Kurz kicking it with us. All right, I want to get into some NFL football. I want to talk about Dallas's other team, the Dallas Cowboys, a bit. But Boston, Tampa, the guys, the NHL schedule is whack. It always has been. It just always will be. They catch you off guard, the NHL. I had to do a double and triple take. So I'm like, all right, so there's two games tomorrow, like normal. All right, so you got Boston and Tampa at 7 o'clock Eastern, and Vancouver and Vegas follow at 9:45 Eastern. But then game two of your New York Islanders series, the Islanders and the Flyers, they're playing Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern. And then you got Tampa and Boston at 8, and then you got Colorado and Dallas, a late game, at 10:30. I don't know. I give up trying to figure out the method to their madness, George. I just assumed that NBC Sports told them to do this, and they're just listening to NBC. But very, very strange. I thought we were done with the afternoon games. But nope, the Islanders and Flyers up in the afternoon. Very bizarre.
And you know I'm with you here. I don't understand it either. I think you read it 100% correctly. It had to be TV. TV controls everything in the playoffs. They tell you when they want these games to start. Why they would want to lose a game to the afternoon, I assume the ratings are lower then, and not have it at night, beyond me.
New York, Philadelphia,
maybe
big markets,
NBC
too.
Yeah, the Islanders don't draw big, though. The Flyers, you would think, do, but the Islanders don't, and that's one of the reasons why. But still, my only thinking is that the NHL didn't want to give the Islanders and Flyers 2 days off. You know, if the NBC just, hey, we want this series on a Wednesday night at 8, you know, during prime time, and, you know, well, we got this Islanders, Phillies, what Flyers, what about them? Well, put them on Thursday, you know, another day. I'm guessing Wednesday's a very big night, hockey ratings-wise, because that is the national night for NBC, SN during the season. So I think you're probably – it's a ratings thing.
Yeah, and you look, you're right, because they're starting at 8 and 10:30. They're not playing around. You're right there. It's the showcase with Tampa, Boston, Colorado, and Dallas. All right, so speaking of Dallas, let's talk a little NFL football. We're just a little more than 2 weeks away right now, Kurtz. This Thursday will officially be two Thursdays away from the start of the season. So it's around the corner, and I'm telling you what, I'm seeing a lot of Dallas Cowboy hype. We had a guest on our show last night that says he likes the Dallas Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl and play the Baltimore Ravens. I've been reading other predictions, and a lot of people are on the Dallas Cowboy wagon right now. And look, when you look at their roster, they're loaded. You could argue that they have one of the most talented rosters in the National Football League right now. But they've got to prove it. And, I mean, can they go from not being able to beat any teams with winning records to beating all teams with winning records? Because that's where they have to go. I am intrigued by Mike McCarthy in here right now. I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't throwing parties because when they hired him, George. But the fact is, Garrett was Garrett's not an idiot, but he was too much of a cheerleader. He couldn't really like intimidate anybody on the team because they all knew that he was just Jerry's puppet. Mike McCarthy's a meaner guy. So, and I think the Dallas Cowboys do need discipline. So I do think that's a plus. What do you think of the hype of the Dallas Cowboys hype this year? Are you buying in as a Cowboys fan? Cause you're normally usually pessimistic about it. What's your take on the Cowboys coming into the year?
Well, you said it. The roster is loaded. I mean, the only weakness on this team is the secondary. And let's face it, they can solve that weakness if they want because someone just became available, someone who wants to play for the Cowboys. And, you know, conveniently, the Cowboys turned Tyron Smith's contract. They restructured it and got $10 million cap space.
Just for the record, for people, I assume everybody knows, but yes, Baltimore released safety Earl Thomas. Word is Dallas might be the place that he lands.
We know that's where he wants to go, and Dallas does have the cap room to do it if they want to go out and get him. So it'd be very intriguing, and it is the biggest weakness on this team, right? By far, is the secondary, and Earl Thomas would certainly help that. Even though he's more of a cover three guy, Dallas doesn't play that system, so it'd be interesting. But I think he could easily adapt to any system the Cowboys want, and it doesn't matter. He'd be better than anybody they have there. So a talent's there, Gabe. But you hit my little bugaboo there. You know, until Dak beats good teams, I'm gonna have some doubts here. you know, until they hit 1-7 against playoff teams last year. And when I say that, his numbers were terrible across the board. It wasn't like, oh, he played well in those losses. His numbers were the same. No, they were down across the board. Now, it's not just him. Amari Cooper didn't show up in those games. Zeke didn't play as well. I'm sure there are other players also. But, you know, the quarterback, he wants all this money, right? He turned down whatever the Cowboys offered him, which from all reports was a significant amount. Got to win these games. There's a lot of pressure on Dak. You want this big contract, you know, there's no excuse. If this team goes 8-8 again or 9-7, it doesn't make the playoffs, especially when there's an extra wild card team. I mean, I don't know how Dak can defend that. This team is loaded. So, yes, I have hope. You know, this has to be the season. It's one of the most talented Cowboy teams, what, over the past 15, 20 years, maybe a top three as far as talent since the Aikman days. You know, Romo had a couple of good teams, but this team is loaded. Let's see what Dak can do. But I'm sort of a person, I need to see it, Gabe. I need to see you beat some good teams before I'm going to buy it.
Cowboys and Rams, what do you think about the schedule? It doesn't seem like there's any real free passes here, George. With the Cowboys at Rams, Falcons at Cowboys. Now, of course, the crowd situation is taken out. And, you know, I've been speaking about this, George. Shouldn't the National Football League put their foot down and just say, listen, there's no fans? Like, we're not having, like, some fans in some places and no fans in other places. Isn't it a competitive imbalance to do that over money?
Of course it is. No doubt it is. Isn't that what we always say? Is that way the spread, you generally get 3 points on a spread for playing at home because the crowd affects the game. They can yell and scream and hurt the snap count. What was all the garbage that happens during the game?
Makes your life easier going to Seattle. Let's be real,
right,
here,
you
George.
Lose a 12th man.
Don't tell me it's not easier
Cowboys
playing
to Seattle.
Seattle Stadium. Exactly.
It's silly. So the NFL is trying to tell me now it doesn't matter. Just say, hey, we want as much money as we can possibly get. I understand that. I know why you're doing it. Don't try and, just don't lie to me. Don't lie straight in my face. Oh, no, it has nothing to do with the crawl. With money, it's just the fact that, hey, you know, fans want to play.
Yeah, I know, but like, so like if Texas says, all right, you're going to have 50% capacity, like the Cowboys are going to have like 50,000 people in there. And other teams, the Giants, are going to have no one there. Like, it is a competitive imbalance. We'll say bye to Kurtz on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
The drive for 55, Super Bowl 55. You want to feel old? That's right. Super Bowl 55, man. Whoa. Super Bowl 55 this year. And you know what's amazing, guys? So they played 54 Super Bowls. Do you know what the record is, George? Between the AFC and the NFC?
Are you going to tell me it's 27-27?
Yeah, I guess I gave it away, but the way I set it up. Yes, it's 27-27. So this is the deciding year.
When you said that, what else could it be?
Yeah, this is the deciding year. It is. The AFC and the NFC, they're 27-27, 54 Super Bowls. The AFC has actually won 4 of the last 5 Super Bowls, though. The AFC has been on a little bit of a run. So as far as the Dallas Cowboys are concerned, the Dallas Cowboys 16-1, 16-1 to win the Super Bowl. They are the sixth choice, in which you've got Baltimore, Kansas City, San Francisco, New Orleans, Tampa, and then the Dallas Cowboys at 16-1. Their win total is 9.5 right now, -160 to the over at FanDuel. So Cowboys. So as you stated, with this roster, George, to me, you know, they should be an 11-5, 12-4 football team.
They should, but I find that hard to believe. They're going to go from 9-7, can't beat any playoff teams, to all of a sudden they'd have to go, 5-2 against playoff teams somewhere around there, and to be a 12-4 team. I think more 10-6, I think the book has it right. I think 10-6 is sort of their upside. If everything goes right, maybe 11-5. Schedule is tough for the Cowboys. It's not an easy schedule. They play Baltimore on that schedule as well, which means they got Pittsburgh and Cleveland as well. So I don't see 12-4. I think everything would have to go right for them, and that's generally not Dallas's way.
And as we stated, like their life becomes easier. Cowboys at Seahawks in week three, but still, there's no easy games, man. Cowboys at Rams, Falcons at Cowboys, Cowboys at Seahawks, Browns at Cowboys, Giants at Cowboys, Cardinals at Cowboys. Even those first six games, no free passes there. No free passes. George Kurtz, check him out on the grid. Great stuff, George. Thanks for the time.
Always, Gabe. Be good.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.